Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Captain Company till noon, and it's Carmen and Yurko, Waddle and Sylvie. Follow them. Theo Epstein will be on this radio station at 2:30 today. Jesse Rogers, Danny Zetterman sitting in, 312-332-3776. We're going to get back to some baseball, Danny. That shortened 60-game season is almost upon us. Eduardo Perez was on the show earlier. He likes the White Sox chances almost better than the Cubs. Cubs have a veteran team, and that's a team that you are looking at as maybe if a last hurrah for them. I mean, they have one more year left before a bunch of them are free agents, but it's hard to imagine the whole team would be back next year with so many free agents to be.
Yeah, and yesterday at Wrigley Field, you were there. Javi Baez discussed his contract and the possibility of signing a new one.
You know, it's been really difficult with all this happening right now. You know, we have a really good communication and relationship between me and the owners and obviously my agent. I think when this goes past, I think we're gonna talk. We're gonna obviously stay in touch and see what happens from here on and with the season.
So, Jess, let me ask you: do you think, with you know, listen, we know Tom Ricketts said that they've taken a loss of biblical proportions. The Cubs have not been financially thriving for years now. We see that in the way they've been spending in free agency, although some would argue they went out and spent $40-plus million on Craig Kimbrell, so they weren't hurting that bad. But do you think they'll be able to sign Javi Baez to a contract? Do you think they'll be able to sign Chris Bryant to a contract, or is it one or the other?
It's probably one or the other. Again, that's not knowing what these guys might be asking for in this new world we live in, this new reality that they live in, I guess I should say. So I think it's one or the other, and it's still most likely Baez. I mentioned this on the air with Hood last night. I'm just going to pick up the storyline where it left off before the pandemic. And where it left off was Chris Bryant was on the trade block, and Javi Baez was closer to signing than anyone on that team. And so I'm gonna stick with that until further notice. It could change this offseason. I get it. It's a new reality. But right now, I still think it's Baez probably over Bryant.
Chris Bryant, every chance he gets, talks about how he wants to remain a Cub, how he hopes he's not traded, how he hopes they can work something out. Now, he's a Scott Boras client. Him doing that goes against everything Scott Boras preaches. Is there no way that they can kind of figure this thing out and keep them both? As a Cub fan, I would like to think, now obviously this year with the pandemic and the biblical losses that the Ricketts are talking about, spending huge money on two big-name free agents seems unlikely. But down the road, in a year from now, is it really crazy to believe that two of the 2016 World Series champion Cubs would still be on this team?
It's not crazy anymore because anything's possible now. The pandemic has changed everything. So I don't think it's crazy anymore to think that way. I still think if you go off the narrative from before the pandemic – that it's not as likely that four or five of these guys are going to sign up. It just doesn't make any sense. But I'm not going to say it's crazy because maybe Bryant wants some decent security but understands the revenues aren't going to be there and he's not going to get the $300 million. And maybe Baez understand. I don't know. You know what I mean? It's just I've talked to agents. They don't know what's coming other than to assume that owners are either going to take advantage of the pandemic or in reality don't have the money that they used to have. So I still think it's doubtful. Here's the other thing. The market might collapse for all these guys outside of Chicago. So they may have to take some hometown deals. I mean, the way Bryant's talking, he really wants to be here. He wants to be Anthony Rizzo's teammate. He said that on the Ryan Dempster show on the Marquee Network before the camp started. He said it the other day that things have changed, basically, I'm paraphrasing. Things have changed regarding wanting to stay and signing a contract, but it actually has to happen. I mean, you could say all these things, but it actually has to happen. So yeah, sure, it's a possibility. It's not crazy. I just don't know if it's highly likely.
And due to the pandemic, Javi was asked yesterday if he wished he had signed a contract with the Cubs earlier.
Everybody wants to get paid, but we gotta wait for the right time. You know, obviously we both. In each side, we're going to see and we're going to know what's right for each other. I'm not in a rush. I'm obviously right now worried about getting back to the field and playing regular games. Obviously trying to win this season that is going to be so weird. But, you know, obviously with this happening right now, it's going to change everything. It's going to change. It already changed 2020. It's going to change the next 2 years, I think.
And there it is. It's everything's changed. Everything's changed. He understands that. I think Brian understands that. For all we know, things will flip. The narrative will flip, and Brian's likely to stay, and Bias isn't. I just don't know. So I'm just going off the storyline narrative before the pandemic hit.
And the story before, though, was both those guys, Bias and KB, were offered contracts by the Cubs, right? And both guys turned it down. Cap keeps reporting that, you know, KB was offered a big deal with the Cubs and it wasn't enough and he turned it down. We've heard that Bias was offered. If you could put these guys under a lie detector, do you think if you asked them, do you wish you signed it at that time, they both would have said absolutely? I mean, the pandemic came. You couldn't have predicted this.
No, not Bias. Maybe Brian. It may be Brian. If you're talking about Bias, like right before the pandemic, sure, he absolutely. Yelich signed a week or 10 days before the pandemic hit for 8 years, huge money.
His contract is great now.
Yeah, if you're going back a couple years, absolutely, Bias has no regrets. Could Chris Bryant have some? I think it's possible. I think it's possible. He's had a couple injuries since the big year, the MVP, and even in, you know, the follow-up year in 17. Some of his numbers have dipped a little, but not really. Still a dangerous hitter. So it's possible that Bryant might be thinking that, that maybe he should have signed. But in terms of right before the pandemic, how could Bias know? They were still negotiating. It was still a really good chance of it happening before the season started. So with Bias, it was just a matter of timing, you know, unfortunately for him. But if you go back a couple of years, I know Bias turned down, it was like 5 years and $35 million at one point. 2 years ago, I think that was it. 5 years and $35 million. Now I'm getting my numbers mixed up. I have to go back and look at my notes. He turned down some nice deal, but nothing outrageous. And he was betting on himself. And he did correctly because he's had a couple big years since turning that down.
What do you think the offer was this year before the pandemic? I mean, obviously you don't know for sure, but what would you guess? Because 5 years, right. $35 million. Listen, I'm not a major in math, but I don't even need a calculator to figure out that $7 million a year.
Right, and that's low. I mean, for you think about Javi Baez now, that's a low number. So he did the right thing. I mean, Christian Yelich signed a huge deal, and I sort of was trying to use that as my litmus, you know. And his was, what, 8 years? I'm trying to remember the exact number. $215 million for 9 years because it ripped up 1 year. It was somewhere below that. It was somewhere below that, I think, for Javi Baez. I mean, Christian Yelich's numbers are, you know, even better than Baez. And obviously he won the MVP a couple years ago and may have won it this past year if not for his injury that kept him out of September. So, you know, think of like a 6-7 year deal for Javi Baez, 150 to 200, I think is the range we're talking about. So that's what they were discussing, something like that. And that might go away now that the, you know, the revenues have changed and the landscape in baseball has changed. It's going to be a lot lower is my guess.
Just talk about luck. I mean, what bad luck it is for a guy like Javi Baez. I mean, obviously with the pandemic, we're all dealing with bad luck, but here you've got a possibility of having generational wealth. And now all of a sudden that's up in question. So Javi Baez, Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Kyle Schwarber, all their deals are up after 2021. John Lester is up after this year. As Cub fans, do we view this 60-game season as the farewell tour for our 2016 World Series Cubs?
You have to. You have to, because this thing is starting to come apart at the seams. It really is. You're crossing your fingers this lineup's going to be good, but they really haven't been consistent the last couple years. I don't know how many fingers you have to cross, but the starting staff, are you kidding me? And the benefit is 60 games. The benefit is 60 games. But even then, it's not very deep. So one more injury, a fingernail, a blister on Darvish, and you've got problems. Now go to next year. Quintana, free agent. Lester, free agent. What do you have behind them? What do you have behind them? And I don't want to hear from Cubs bloggers about the guys they have at single A or at the taxi squad at South Bend or double A. I don't want to hear it until they make it to the majors. So yes, this thing is being held together. You know, they're walking a tightrope right now with this team. And so this is definitely a last hurrah situation, because I'm not sure it's good enough for 162. It might be good enough for a 60-game sprint.
I know it's impossible to predict the kind of season John Lester's going to have, but John Lester is, I mean, he's a beast. We all know what John Lester's been.
He's a warrior.
And we all know what he's been in his career. We also know the relationship he has with Theo and Jed. Is it beyond the realm of possibility they bring him back for another contract?
No, it's not. Now, he has an option for like 20 plus million. So the problem is you turn down the option, you bring it because, you know, he's not going to get 20 million on the open market. Right. I don't, especially after with the pandemic and then with his game. Now, if he has some amazing year, everything can change. But assuming they turn down the option, sure. Could they bring him back? Yeah, it's possible. I think he left open the possibility of returning to Boston for a year or two or something. Absolutely. I would leave that door open. Comes back on some 1 year, $6-8 million deal as the fourth starter. Absolutely, I think that's a possibility. So sure, but they're not going to pick up the option. That I think we can assume is a safe bet.
One other piece of news that came from the Cubs yesterday, which I thought was really odd, and I need you to explain to us. Adbert Alzolay is tweeting about how underpaid he is and how horrible the conditions are for him in the Cubs minor league affiliate.
Yeah, I don't know the guy that well, obviously. I'd love to get him on the show sometime, right? That would be interesting.
Oh, right, so, now, and book his agent, and maybe book his now, shoemaker.
He would be a good guest. He would be a good guest. But, you know, that was interesting. That was interesting. I don't think I knew the exact details of what those guys were getting paid. The taxi squad's not much on my radar, but it certainly was after yesterday. The $18 a day thing. Now, they do get the room and board and some food and whatever. But, I mean, if you want to live your life, you're going to need a few more dollars than that. But I think that's the point. They're supposed to go to the field and go back to their apartment. Go to the field, go back to the apartment, and that's about it. Now, his pay will change once the season begins. But right now, they're just getting basically a stipend to live there and get a few bucks to live on, along with being, you know, being their house is paid for by the team, so they do have that going for them, but not much else.
Two things that bother me about this. The first thing is, don't air your dirty laundry, right? You play for the Cubs organization. You want to play at the major league level. You want to do everything possible to impress your bosses. Why are you going to Twitter with that? I know he's since deleted it. Not a smart move on his part. Also, I think I read somewhere.
There's the answer.
But he got $30,000. Like, he got a portion of his big league salary. So he got a check for 30 grand. So at that point, shut up. You got 30 grand. I'm sure there are other guys there with you that did not get that money.
Yeah, you have to be real careful when you speak up like that in the middle of a pandemic and, you know, you just have to be careful. I think he probably regrets it, although the tone of what he said might be true. I had a player, not on the Cubs, I mentioned this on the air yesterday, I had a player text me, same thing, hey, Adbert, quiet, pipe down. You're in the minors. You're going to have to suffer like the rest of us did in the minors. Now, this is a little different with the taxi squad. It's not truly the minors, but he's basically like, play better, you'll make the majors, you'll get paid a lot of money. Hey. So a player was saying that about him.
Yeah, everybody in this world, whether you're a professional athlete or just a guy going to work at a radio station, you're going through something and you're dealing with hurdles thanks to the coronavirus. We don't want to hear you complaining about it on Twitter. It just didn't make any sense to me. It kind of left a bad taste in my mouth about him. All right, Jesse's here. He's the Cubs guru. We're going to open the phone lines for you to ask anything you want about the Cubs to Jesse. 312-332-3776. Also up next, do the Cubs have a bigger health concern than just the coronavirus?
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Another big-time player is opted out of baseball this season. Buster Posey of the San Francisco Giants is the latest. He announced that today, Danny. So add him to a list that includes Mike Leake and Ryan Zimmerman and the Ross brothers, Tyson and Joe. So it's still happening. You know, it's still trickling out some names that are opting out. I don't think he's going to be the last either. So that's interesting. 312-332-3776. No Cubs have opted out. Remember, through my reporting, I found out that the Cubs are one of the few teams that voted to accept baseball's proposal. Remember when they were had to do that big vote that was 33-5 against Manfred's last proposal? Well, the Cubs are one of those five that voted to accept it. So they all wanted to play. None of them have opted out. None of them have tested positive for COVID-19. So at least it does seem like they're unified in a lot of different ways for this 60-game sprint, which could be their last hurrah, which is what we're talking about.
It seems as if Buster Posey's probably the highest profile baseball player to opt out right now. He's a 3-time World Series champ. He won the National League MVP. The reason for it, though, makes tons of sense. He announced that he and his wife, Kristen, are adopting identical twin girls, and the girls were born last weekend, and they need to remain in the neonatal intensive care unit. So he and Kristen, his wife, decided it's in their best interest to opt out, obviously for health concerns, because he can't put himself at risk at getting COVID and then going home to these two newborn twins that were born prematurely.
Yeah, so makes a ton of sense. Makes a ton of sense.
But let's go ahead. Sorry, Justin.
I'm not going to even go. I was about to say, like, if the Giants were a better team, would he be? I don't know.
I was going to ask you because the Giants on paper are going to suck, and Vegas has them as one of the lowest odds to win the World Series. I'm wondering if he was on the Dodgers, it would be the same situation. But I also don't want to go there because, like I said, they're adopting baby girls that are in the neonatal intensive care unit.
Right.
Health is far more important. He's won World Series. He's won MVPs.
Human nature, it probably is just easier for him internally to be like, all right, I don't, you know, this Giant season is going to be nothing. I'm going to take care of my family. Like, I'm sure for him, it's just easier to, because it's probably a tougher decision if they're really good. Right? It just is. It's just human nature. But certainly the health of his babies is more important.
What about someone like Mike Trout? The Angels are supposed to be a better team this year. Do you think Mike Trout's going to play this full season, Jess?
I don't know the answer to that question. I mean, he certainly is laying the groundwork to opt out.
On top of that, say Mike Trout says within the next week or two that he's not playing. Will more players pull out of the season because the best player in baseball is not playing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good conversation, definitely. I mean, but baseball isn't driven by stars so much, right? It's not. It could survive, but you know, how many stars have to opt out before it's a problem?
Well, I just wonder though if it matters if Mike Trout opts out. Like, if I'm a player, right? I'm Anthony Rizzo, and I'm on the fence about opting out. If Mike Trout opts out, is that going to make me say, all right, well, the best in the game opted out, I can do it now? I think it's just a personal decision of how comfortable you are putting yourself in a position where you're more likely to get COVID than somebody that's sitting at home self-quarantining. You know, I think now, if Anthony Rizzo decided to opt out now in conjunction with his back issue, that would make complete sense to me. I've got a stiff back. I battled and beat cancer. COVID's out there. Maybe I'm deciding that this isn't the best thing for me now.
I think you could also, with Mike Trout, Jess, each summer we have the conversation of who's the face of baseball, and we always kind of scratch our head. We try and figure out. We're like, we know Trout's the best player in baseball, but is he really the face of baseball? I think you could also make the argument if Trout didn't play this year, like, would it change anything? Would it affect anybody? Like, the Angels' odds would go down, right, to win? But, like, nationwide, would you have outrage that the best player in baseball wasn't participating? I think many people would just say, Mike Trout who? The Subway guy? The guy that's on the ads for the footlongs?
Yeah, maybe until there's some iconic player out there,
it's Bryce Harper. I mean, Bryce Harper.
No, he's not. He's not the face.
Not even Bryce Harper. I don't think baseball has one.
I don't think baseball has one. The sport just doesn't lend itself. You need this is what you need. The best player to have the best personality. That would be the face of baseball.
Right.
We don't have that. We don't have that. Right?
Also, nobody cares about teams really that aren't playing in their city.
Yeah, that's my point. So if Trout or Bryce Harper pull out, people here in Chicago, they don't care. Are the White Sox playing? Are the Cubs playing? Yes. Okay, great.
But do you agree with me? To have a face of baseball, it has to be basically the best player who has one of the best personalities in the game. That combination is the formula. Is the formula for a face of baseball.
So has there been faces of baseball before, or and we're just in a drought? Is that what we're saying? Like, who was the last face of baseball? Alex Rodriguez?
Probably
Derek
Jeter.
Probably Jeter.
Yeah, there you go. Now, he wasn't the best, but he was very, very, very good and charismatic. So that you need that combination. So, yeah, I think Jeter was probably the last guy. I think today, it was almost like Jordan in the years after he retired, you ask people around the world, they would say Jordan. Like, who's the face of basketball? They'd still say Jordan. They may say it today even. With Jeter, it was the same thing. I think even in the couple years after he retired, who's the face of baseball? People would say Jeter. They may, and again, they may say it today. I'm talking about the casual, not even baseball fan at all. So just a casual sports fan. So until we find that person, Jeter's the last guy. You're right.
Man, Jess, think about how sad that is. Jeter stopped playing in 2014. He was 40 at the time when he stopped playing. 6 years ago, baseball still doesn't have someone that's emerged as the face of baseball.
Because their best players don't have the best charisma or personality, whatever you want to call it. Or don't play in New York. I don't know. It's whatever combination. No one has the right combination to be that face.
You just nailed it with that, too. Add in the playoffs. Since you have limited playoffs, you have limited amount of people who participate each and every year. The Yankees were there for the majority of Jeter's career. Why? So why does that matter? Not only is he a winner, but then we also see a lot of them, right? Like, think about someone who's watching playoff baseball. How many times have you seen Mike Trout?
Yeah, I wasn't
You don't see Trout, right?
I wasn't of age when Reggie Jackson was doing his thing, but Mr. October.
Yeah, there it is. Right?
That's the stage. That's the New York stage.
Right. That's also that. By the way, here's some news out of Toronto. Did you see this? Scott Mitchell from TSN tweets this. Here, TSN is like the ESPN in Canada. Here's what's going to keep Blue Jays players in their stadium / hotel bubble. Per multiple sources, players have been told their penalty, if seen outside the ballpark, is $750,000 and potential jail time. Now, Travis Shaw is a former Milwaukee Brewer, Boston Red Sox player. He's with the Blue Jays. He retweets that and says, "We were told 2 weeks, not all summer. All summer is a bit much." But just the fact that for 2 weeks here, if you're seen outside the ballpark, you have a $750,000 fine and potential jail time. What's going on up in Canada?
How can they possibly enforce that?
I don't know.
I mean, you work for the team. They're not the government. They can't imprison you. A $750,000 fine is ridiculous.
Now, where the Blue Jays play, of course, famously has a hotel in the stadium, and that's where both the home team, the Blue Jays, and the visiting teams will stay along with the umpires. Once you get in there, they don't want you to leave. Now, this player is saying we were told for 2 weeks, maybe just the first couple weeks while in Canada. This report from Scott Mitchell didn't say the length of time. Or no, he says this summer. He says this summer. So Travis Shaw is pushing back on the fact that it's this summer. But wow, even for 2 weeks, if you go out, you could end up in jail. That's incredible.
If you want to join the conversation, 312-332-3776. Let's go out to Julian in St. Louis. Julian, what's up, my friend?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Good. All right. So I just had a question for Jesse. So you guys were talking about what the Cubs have to choose between Bryant and Baez. What happens if this year they both have like an MVP type like season? Like, I know that's a long stretch, but do they still have to choose between, or do you think they try to find the money somewhere?
I mean, I don't know if 60 games is going to change the narrative for the front office. And look, they like Chris Bryant. They like Javi Baez. It's not about having a good year or not. I guess if Chris has the great year and Baez doesn't, I mean, does that, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know exactly how I don't know how this 60-game season is going to change the thought process in the front office. All I can tell you is Baez was much closer to signing a long-term deal than Chris Bryant was. That's all I can tell you.
He then would get the first contract?
What's that?
So you think Baez then would get the first contract out of the two? Yeah,
I do. I think they pick up where they left off, though the parameters of the deal might be different. The conversation picks up where they left off. But what do I know? I mean, Chris Bryant the other day made it sound like he wants to be a Cub more than ever. So maybe he's telling Scott Boras, hey, Scott, come November 1st, you get on the phone and let's work this thing out. I don't know what's being said behind closed doors because things may have changed due to the pandemic.
All right, let's move on to Dean, who is on his way to Wisconsin. Dean, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Long-time listener. So you guys were talking about the face of baseball. You said Jeter. I think, man, you bring up baseball, like who the face is. I think it's Griffey all day of the week.
Not now. I don't think if you ask people around the world, around the country, who the face of baseball is, they're not going to say Ken Griffey Jr.
I mean, when did Ken Griffey Jr. finish playing?
They may not say Jeter anymore, but they're not going to say Ken Griffey Jr. anymore. I mean,
no.
You know, they may have said it at the time he was playing, right? He probably fits the bill that I was talking about.
With the hat backwards, he had that look. But you could have said Barry Bonds also with that hanging earring and the way he was built. And
the numbers he put up.
But that's the sad thing. Like, as we sit here, me, you, Chris, the listeners, we talk about the face of baseball. We keep going back to players that no longer are in the game.
Right.
No longer in the game. Griffey stopped playing 10 years ago.
Yeah, he's already in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. That's what's sad about this conversation. Maybe it has to do with the pace of play. Maybe that's why they try to make it more entertaining every year by changing the rules. I don't know.
I can't even recall while Griffey was playing. I know it sounds easy to say. Was he the – I think he was.
Yeah, it was him. Jeter, it was Barry Bonds. Sure. It was A-Rod. It was Jeter. There was a whole group of guys.
Yeah, but that's not – we didn't ask for the faces of baseball, Chris. We said the face of baseball.
But Jesse, back then, baseball was more popular, thus there were more faces. See what I'm saying?
Well, I guess.
Like you wouldn't say who's the face of the NFL?
No, but Mike Trout isn't the face because baseball's not popular, I don't think.
I don't think it's as popular as it was in the mid-90s when you have all these options to suggest that the face of baseball is like four or five different guys.
Yeah, but I view the guys differently. Ken Griffey Jr. oozed charisma along with great play. Bonds was just putting up sick numbers. I don't know about the charisma part of it.
Yeah, he was cool. He had the earring. He had the whole thing. He was a cool player to follow.
Yeah, I mean, until he started taking the roids and things start going south. But I don't know. I think we all agree there is nobody currently. And maybe it's the state of the sport, but I also think it's the state of players. And it's just by chance. I'm not being critical of them. I think it's just you don't have the best players with the best charisma, I suppose.
All right. Jesse travels a lot. He stays in hotels a lot. Is he more Rajon Rondo or Patrick Beverley? We'll discuss.
One small business.
Breaking Bread Catering and Deli, Cary and Crystal Lake.
ESPN 1000 is proud to partner with First Midwest Bank to help small business thrive for tomorrow.
That is sensational.
We are just speechless.
A $50,000 ad campaign.
When the pandemic shut down, you had to create a new business plan.
Just the fact that we were able to keep all our employees, didn't have to let anybody go.
And check out all the local businesses that took part.
Well, my wife is crying.
Visit and bookmark thrivingtomorrow.com.
I'm losing it a little bit too.
Congratulations to Breaking Bread Catering and Deli.
We are a small business. This is just going to help us in so many ways.
From First Midwest Bank.
So heartwarming.
And ESPN 1000. You're listening to Cap and Company. See what Sparkles is up to on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today. Cap and Company.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Are you worried about Rizzo's back? Yu Darvish's fingernail? Is this the last hurrah for the Cubs? We're talking about it here on Cap and Company. Jesse Rogers, Danny Zetterman until 12. Carmen Yurko after that. And then Waddle and Sylvie will have Theo Epstein on at 2:30 this afternoon. They're on from 2 to 6. 312-332-3776. So there's my question to you, Danny. You are lamenting Rizzo's back, even though he's recovered fine every other time this has happened. A little back tightness. That's what he's going through right now. Are you worried more about Rizzo's back or Darvish's performance?
I am worried more about Anthony Rizzo's back. I am choosing to view Yu Darvish glass half full. He had a hiccup when he first came to the Cubs. He had a slow start, often injured. That's fine. I'm letting him put that past. Last year, he had a nice second half of the season. I'm hopeful that Yu Darvish is going to be Yu Darvish. Here's my concern with Anthony Rizzo. He has not been traveling on planes across country. He's not been sleeping in random hotel beds. He lost 25 pounds and is supposedly in the best shape of his career. Yet here we are where he's missed three straight practices with a slow, sore lower back. Why is that the case? And I know he suffers from a sore back every year, but that goes back to the points I just made. He suffers a sore back when he travels. He suffers a sore back in hotels. He suffers a sore back from the wear and tear of the season. There's been absolutely no wear and tear. They just started practicing less than a week ago.
He's also suffered them early in spring trainings before. So maybe once he gets going with baseball activities, he has an issue with it. That is also possible, and he recovers pretty quickly. We'll see what he's doing today. I don't expect him to be in the scrimmage, but hopefully he's doing more than he did yesterday.
He's also 31 years old, right? He's not getting any younger. I don't believe back injuries get better as you get older. I believe most ailments of the body get worse when you get older, unless he found some kind of time machine, and if he did, I'd wish he'd share it with the rest of us.
Well, what do the callers have to say? Right. Because I think he'll be just fine.
Sean, are you concerned about Anthony Rizzo's back? 312-332-3776. That's a great question because I personally am, and I know Sylvia is also. Listen, it's a short 60-game schedule. If the Cubs have any chance of making the postseason, if the Cubs have any chance of winning a World Series, if you're going to consider it a real World Series or not, Anthony Rizzo is a key component of this lineup. If he misses time, even a small amount of time, and we see Victor Caratini on a regular basis, is that good enough? I don't know necessarily if it is. Jess, let's go out to the phones. Sean in Waukegan's been on hold. He wants to ask a question. Sean, what's up, my man?
Hey, you know, the point I was going to make has more to do with the Marquee Network, and I really think the Cubs are shooting themselves in the foot with that Marquee Network, mainly because they're limiting the accesses to people who can see the Cubs. When it was on WGN, I mean, they were all over the country. You could be sitting in Winnemucca, Nevada, and then the Cubs game is on. But I can't imagine people outside of Chicago are going to pay $5 to see the Cubs in some random bar in Arizona. And I just think they're shooting themselves in the foot with this. And now they've got this argument with Comcast or whoever you said they were having. I mean, they're limiting the number of people that are going to see their club. I mean, people make a pilgrimage to Wrigley Field from all over the country because they see them on TV. I think they're killing themselves.
Yeah, well, that's the way it's been trending for a while. You know, they haven't been on the Superstation in a long time, right? So that's just the way the world is working. The Cubs getting their own network, making more money off of that, that was almost inevitable with the way things have gone over the last decade under Ricketts. It just was. I mean, that you're thinking 1985 when you're thinking of the Cubs on the WGN Superstation.
All right, Jess, let's go back to the phones. John in Schaumburg, your dime, your dance floor to quote Chet Comic.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for having me on. I want to say, yeah, you got to be concerned about Rizzo, right? I mean, Darvish, you alluded to it. He had a second great half, you know, second half of the season that was great. But this is a guy that only plays every five games. You're talking about Rizzo, who's supposed to play every game. And when you look at this schedule, they're playing 9 to 10 games straight and then getting a day off and having to play another 9 to 10 games straight. And for a guy who's having problems, who isn't even in day-to-day traveling, day-to-day in the batter's box on the field, if he's already hurting now, you have to be concerned because at the beginning of the season last year when he had those back problems, you saw how bad the Cubs played in May and June, and it was abysmal. So you have to be worried. If this guy isn't healthy, Is Baez and Bryant and these other guys going to pick him up? Because in my opinion, Rizzo may be the most consistent bat that they have. But if he's not healthy, the Cubs don't do well. And it's been proven historically.
I think he's shown to be pretty durable despite that back. I mean, since 2015, 160 games, 155, 157, 153, 146 last year. But remember, he hurt the ankle late. So, yeah, and he did miss time for the back. So if you want to go off a most recent year, okay. But before that, it was in the 150s, and that's plenty. So the guy has proven he'd be just fine. He always puts up the numbers. So why would you think this year would be any different, Danny?
Listen, the only reason I'm more concerned this year than other years, it always concerns me. Every year, you know, we're doing the show and all of a sudden it pops up, oh, Anthony Rizzo's missing because of sore lower back. That's a concern because he's one of the stars of the team. The reason it concerns me more this year than other years is because there's really been very little baseball activity up until this point, and I don't believe it should be flaring up just from practicing. Now, maybe he needs to get the practice to get through it and maybe loosen up his lower back or whatever exercises he was doing to lose that 25 pounds aggravated something, and that might be fine, and this might just be a small bump in the road, and I might be overreacting, which I've been known to do. But for me, to have a sore lower back when you've had almost no baseball activities, you've had no plane trips, and you're sleeping in your own bed, that's a little bit concerning. You asked the question, are you more concerned about Yu Darvish or John Lester? So I'm assuming...
No, I said Yu Darvish or Anthony Rizzo.
Yu Darvish or Anthony Rizzo, my bad. I'm assuming you're more concerned with Yu Darvish, which leads me into John Lester. John Lester, Yu Darvish, Kyle Hendricks, that's three of your five in the rotation. Quintana hurt himself. Let me ask you, Jesse, are you more concerned about the Cubs' starting rotation or the Cubs' bullpen, which is anchored by Craig Kimbrell?
I'm gonna cop out and say equal, because things could look completely different than we've ever seen before, especially early on. These starters might go 3-4 innings, and then you go to the bullpen, then you go to another bullpen, then you go to another bullpen, because they have a 30-man roster. So it is absolutely equal. I don't think one is gonna carry a team over the other. I think it's gonna be equal use. You need both parts working, especially early in the season. That's when you can, you know, sort of fall out of it if you're not careful. So if this was a normal season, I'd absolutely be more worried about the starting staff because of how important it is to this team. But I think the bullpen's just as important in a 60-game season. Now you have Tyler Chatwood and Alec Mills in the rotation, which might weaken the rotation. It also weakens the bullpen. I mean, they have an absolutely revamped bullpen. This pitching staff is being held together by a Band-Aid right now, just between talent and injury and, you know, track record. Craig Kimbrell's got his issues. Who's going to get the ball to Kimbrell is a question mark. Can Mills and Chatwood be solid in the rotation? Can Darvish be solid and healthy the whole time? I mean, there are so many question marks with this pitching staff. I think it's an advantage they're only playing 60. I think it'd be more exposed over 162. And, you know, that's the best I can say of it. Maybe they can ride the top of the rotation to something special here.
I'm worried about the bullpen just because with this shortened season and the fact that we're having less time to prepare, pitchers aren't going to – the starting staff's not going to go as deep. You're going to rely on the bullpen more. Also, with that new three-hitter rule that they have, you're not going to be able to bail a guy out if he's struggling right away.
Yeah, I mean, let's see how much of a thing that plays a part, because – I think a lot of times you're going to see two outs, guy comes in. If he gets that third out, that's all he has to face, right? Now, if he can't get that third out, yeah, the inning's going to extend. I just wonder how big a factor it's going to be. Maybe it will be earlier as you have to go to more bullpen guys. You know, once the starters are ready and stretched out, hopefully you can get 6-7 innings, you know, like normal, and you're limiting those bullpen arms that have to face three batters. Remember, again, if you get out of an inning, you don't have to face three necessarily. He doesn't have to come back and start the next one. But I think question marks are abound on the Cubs pitching staff from the top to the bottom of the – I'm talking from inning one to inning nine. There are question marks all over the place.
Is it crazy to think there are question marks all over, like you said, in the pitching staff, and the Cubs need help in pitching, right? They're treating this season, although it's a truncated season, as a regular season. There's going to be a trade deadline. Moves can be made. Theo Epstein, Jed Hoyer are known to be aggressive. Would it be crazy for them to shop a Baez, a Bryant, a Rizzo, a Schwarber, guys whose deals are up after 2021 to get some pitching help for this season?
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. What, in a normal
because
season?
Because of the pandemic? Or is it just not going to happen because they just don't want to part with those guys now?
No. It's mostly because of the pandemic. If this was a normal season and the Cubs were not in it, Bryant would be on the block in July. If we pick up the storyline from the spring training, Bryant would be on the block, for example. Maybe others. Maybe Rizzo would be on the block come July. But I think things are different. I don't think teams are unloading their top prospects this August 31st for a season that is completely a question mark for everybody. Even if you look good going into September, you just don't know. And to give up a lot. Now, the one difference is it's not a usual rental if it's Chris Bryant, for example, or Baez. There's another year attached to it. So that is good news. But I'm in agreement. Jeff Passan was on the air the other day. Yes, you're going to see minor deals. You could see Craig Kimbrell get moved, for example. I think that's possible. But I don't. And you're not getting a ton for Craig Kimbrell. I just don't think teams are giving up their top prospects to go for it in this season. Could be wrong once we get into the competition of it all in late August. But I don't think Bryant's getting traded right now. I just don't.
He's Jesse Rogers. I'm Danny Zetterman filling in for David Kaplan on ESPN 1000. All of your baseball calls are next. 312-332-3776. This hour brought to you by the Home Loan Experts. The Home Loan Experts have been in the mortgage industry for 70 years now and have never seen interest rates this low. How much money can they save you? Visit thehomeloanexperts.com.
This is Cap and Company. Follow on Twitter at the Cap Man.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko coming up in a few minutes, but first we go to the phone lines. Jesse Rogers, Danny Zetterman with you on Cap and Company. Take it away, Danny.
Mark in Oak Brook, what's up, my friend? What do you got for us?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Super.
Great. Good. I'm glad you can hear me. Hey, about Anthony Rizzo's back issues, I work at a company called Delos Therapy here in Chicago, and what we do is we deal with fibrotic tissues that he is dealing with. Your body places collagen and different materials with repetitive motion. So over the years and over time, his back continues to lock up even more. And the only way to get rid of that is by using a direct pressure and shearing. Science is proving that this is over and happening over and over and over again with everybody. And it masks pain, tightness, and stiffness. So nobody can figure out how to get rid of it. I would love to get at his back.
Mark, this call is you pandering for business. Like, help
us. I'm just trying to tell you what we're doing. I'm just trying to give you an idea of what's happening in his body. His fascia is tightening up. There's collagen being continuously built up in there. He has to find a way to kind of get rid of that. And there's only one way to do it. All the science from all around the world is showing pressure and shearing is what needs to be done.
So his pressure and
shearing. His swing is going to get worse and worse.
Is pressure and shearing something that a massage therapist or a regular chiropractor can do for him?
Unfortunately, no. Those are different. Those are things that people are starting to learn about just right now. And there's only a few companies in the world that actually do it. One of the most common.
I like how you say swing is going to get worse and worse. It hasn't gotten worse yet. I mean, everyone's making it sound like this has been a huge part of his career. It's been a few days each in every year for the last 4 years. Be grateful it's happening now and not in August. If it happens again in August for 4 days, so be it. But everyone's jumping the gun on something that has proven to be not a big deal for him.
Andy and Addison, also concerned about Rizzo's back. What's up, Andy? How are you doing, bud?
Happy Friday, guys.
Happy Friday.
I just got a question. Do you think his back issues are attributed to his swing at all?
He's never said that. It's all been about getting loose and stuff like that. I don't know. I don't know the answer. He's never indicated that. No one has said that to me publicly or anything like that. So I don't think so.
Okay.
But he's a baseball player who's been swinging a bat for his whole life. So could have contributed to it. Yes. But specific to his swing, I just don't know the answer to that.
I think if we're listing out the list of Cubs' biggest concerns going into the 2020 60-game season, Anthony Rizzo's back is not on the top of the list.
I'm glad you said that. I agree with you.
I do think, though, that it is a little bit concerning that he's got a sore lower back when there's no games being played, no travel, and he's sleeping in his own bed. And it's definitely worth talking about.
Let me say this. I don't have a crystal ball. Maybe this is the start of something terrible. Maybe he's missing 2 weeks. I don't have a crystal ball. All I'm saying is history says he gets the benefit of the doubt.
Yes, absolutely. He gets the benefit of the doubt because every year it happens and every year he overcomes it.
Yeah.
Jess, have you been paying attention to what's been going on with the NBA bubbles?
A little bit, yeah, of course.
So yesterday, Rajon Rondo took to Twitter and tweeted out a picture of his hotel room. Looked like a beautiful, fine hotel room. And he wrote, Motel 6.
He's like the Albert Azoulay of the NBA right now.
Exactly. Now, listen, I'll say this. Rajon Rondo's been in the NBA for 15 years. He has made a lot of money, and he's probably stayed at Ritz-Carlton's or Four Seasons for the last 15 years. So yeah. For him checking into that room, maybe it was a little bit crappy. Patrick Beverley, on the other hand, did you see his post?
Do we know which hotels these are? Because I've stayed in some of these hotels down in Orlando.
You could figure out that it was actually interesting the way they picked the hotels. I thought that was one of the most interesting things. Based on your record, you got a better hotel. So, like,
they said that wasn't true.
No, it was 100% true.
It's clearly true.
It's true. Yeah, that's how they divided it up.
Yes, yeah. That was like one of the perks of having a good record. So, like, if you were the Lakers or you were the Bucks, you got first pick of hotel. You got a nicer hotel. If you were one of the crappier teams that were just lucky to be one of the 22 going down to Orlando, you were staying at one of the crappier hotels. And when I say crappier, they're still the nicer hotels that Disney has to offer. And Disney has some beautiful,
They have a few really nice ones. They don't have, like, you know, a dozen. There's a handful on the Disney campus that are nice. The other ones are just okay.
Correct. And the big deal was what I heard a lot of the infighting was about who gets the suites, right? So, like, the Lakers, because they had one of the best records, they got one of the nicest hotels. But it wasn't just enough to be in one of the nicest hotels. You wanted to have one of those suites. Now, obviously, LeBron James and Anthony Davis is getting the suite. But are you giving the suite to one of the coaches? Or are you giving the suite to, you know, the seventh guy off the bench?
No, you're definitely giving a suite to a coach. I think that is probably in their contracts. You know, I know it was in Joe Madden's contract. the managers, the coaches, they get suites for sure. After that, I don't know. I don't know what you have to be a veteran of certain years. I don't know what the qualifications are to get a suite. But obviously, the stars get them.
Yeah, I'd hate to be the guy to figure that out. But here's the question I want to ask you. So Malika Andrews used to work here in Chicago with us. She's been chosen as the reporter for ESPN to get to check into the bubble and live that life like an NBA player. It's really cool for her, but it also really sucks for her because she's basically quarantined by herself in that hotel living like an NBA player. But there's no NBA players there yet to really hang out with. If the baseball system had something in place like that, and they asked you to go, now you've got kids, you've got a wife, would you volunteer, yes, sign me up, put me in the bubble, or would that be something you'd be like, sorry, guys, get passing?
No, I would do it. I would do it. Look, I'm gone a lot anyway during the baseball season. I was just home from spring training in the first couple months here, so I would do it. It's a fairly short period of time. I would do it. It's a unique situation. Obviously, safety would be first and foremost for myself, but leaving the kids, I've done it for 10 years. You know?
It sounds like from conversations earlier we had today, you don't talk too much. I'm like, what music do they listen to? You're like, I don't know. They got their headphones in all the time.
We will have done this host show, and at least two of them will not be up yet. So, I mean, you know what I'm saying? We've got our own things going anyway. They sleep half the day, and I'm working and all that stuff. So I would do it. It's unique. It's something to do, and then you're home. You know, it's not like you're doing it for 9 months like the whole baseball season normally is.
When's the last time you slept till noon?
I don't know. Maybe after staying out all night at a casino in Vegas or something.
Boy, I can't remember the last time I slept.
Definitely not at home, like on a normal day at home. It'd be like last time I was in Vegas and stayed up all night.
Even then, I don't think I slept till noon. Even then.
It's hard.
All right. Up next, we're going to crosstalk with Jeff Meller and Johnny the Good Kid.